Blog Talk Radio.
But
all the other aldermen and aldermen from mayor, man, one of them stepped up to the plate when we were going through the crisis about oil, about gas, about food. Some ladies told me that they got a food voucher from Willie Wilson, and they got gas. Now, my pick is Willie Wilson as the mayor for Chicago. Number one, the only one that was not selfish, out of his pocket paid for gas for black, white, whoever. If a man come out of his pocket and pay and give money to try to help people, he's already a good mayor. There's nothing else you can do but go up. So all those other guys running, ain't nobody took time out to go where the shoes at. The mayor ain't went to where the shoes at today. That's the stop. So we need a whole new system as the work in Chicago and across the state of Illinois. And even in Detroit, California. It's got to be some changes, and the changes come with me and you. So we're talking about the street and flow. Now, one of the things where we had to come with the property here is because of reparations. What do you mean? The wealth that our ancestors, we didn't get the wealth of our ancestors. Our ancestors would come over here on the Mayflower. They came over in chains. Some of them died on their way here. And the Europeans, it's a cause going to Africa, taking them, stealing them, and whatever, bring them back to America. And that's some of the stuff. But we want to focus on the high plane. The high plane that you, this year's a year of success for you, a year of healing for you. This is the year that God's going to open up a door for you. And you get ready. Don't let nothing take you down. All is well. And Prophet Johnson said this, in all thy ways acknowledge God. Every time I say that, I pick his spirit up. In all thy ways acknowledge God, he will direct your path. And Bishop Pop from the west side, in Bethel Baptist Church, his favorite words were wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It's wonderful to be in the land of the living tonight. I'm praying for Sister Genevieve's daughter. She bought some chicken from Popeyes, and she got, salmonella. So she's in the hospital now. We're praying for her. There's no secret that God can't do for you. Miracle. Yeah, I'm going to encourage you. I don't care if Willie Wilson lose or win. Willie Wilson has come out of his pocket and his time for Chicago, not just for black, for everybody in Chicago. People that help you, you got to help them. Okay? I don't care. Yeah, he can't talk. And the rest of them can talk, but they ain't doing nothing. This man is going out pumping gas, giving money for you to go buy groceries. Now, if you're so naive that not to vote for him, something wrong with you. He ain't trying to buy your vote. He's trying to show you that if we work together, we can make things work in Chicago. And I believe, like him, take the handcuff off the police and stop them from running and start locking these people up. Because the sheriff, the chief of police we got now, he ain't saying nothing. Every time I hear somebody got robbed, somebody got stuck up, and nobody being caught, and nobody going to jail. Women being stuck up in their car, and the babies in the car, they out of control. And where y'all go, you lock everybody up that's involved over here in Harvey. These boys, 13, got a car and killed a man, then none of them go to jail. I don't care if they're 2 years old, if they, what is the parents doing? If the parents go to jail, the parents might need to go to jail. Make them all right. If the kids, 12 and 13, killing people, I don't care how old it is, then you go to jail. And right now, across this country, in Chicago, Detroit, Mississippi, Alabama, the trillion flow. It's time for you to get ready to name your business. And our problem is other people come in our neighborhood, Jerry, they set up business in our neighborhood because they can't go to no other neighborhood. We got every person in our neighborhood that don't live in our neighborhood. When dark comes, they shut up and go and they come back in the morning. Well, we need somebody that live in the neighborhood, somebody familiar with the neighborhood, and will set up a business. I ain't talking about no barber shop. I'm talking about a grocery store. I'm talking about a filling station. I'm talking about something like Walgreens. We have to take charge of what we need to do. I was telling Brother White. Brother White said, really intentional. But Brother White, we need people that say, I've got $1 million I'm going to invest it in this neighborhood, and I'm going to make sure this neighborhood is safe. The premium flow. That's what we have to do. Janet, we have to do that. And Lorraine, we have to get ready to get some people that can listen and want to do what we need to do. I'm going to vote for Willie Wilson. Well, you might not like it. He can't do whatever he can't do. But with his pocketbook, he gave gas to people all over the city. He fed people. If you don't understand somebody, if you got some other people, all of them, they're talking about all of them, the black, the white, all they saying, vote for me, but they ain't saying what they do. This man is doing. Lightfoot didn't give no gas out. The man, one of those people running for mayor, did nothing for the people but vote for me. I don't care what the unions do. I don't care what the school board do. You help the person that's helping you. You have the person that's looking out for you. And that's the old way. Now, if the blacks had been together, this is what it should have been, Jerry. They should have come together, all them blacks running, so we're going to choose this one to run. But they so greedy and ain't going to do nothing. No, with all them, they ain't going to do nothing. They going to do something for themselves. There'll be so many of them went to jail, stealing from people. They get in that office to steal. They not getting that off to help nobody. So what I'm saying, the alderman, the mayor, all of them should be saying, I want to stop the crime. And now, alderman or mayor went to wherever she met and stood there and said, we're going to stop this now. They're not concerned. They want you to vote for them, a pie in the sky. No more. Your vote counts. And whoever run for president, if they ain't talking about reparations, I'm going to tell you to hold your vote. I got the vote. What you voting for, you can't get nothing. Everybody else gets something. All the other people get something, but we don't get nothing. The Italians get something. The Jews get something. All of them got reparations, but we didn't get nothing. If we don't vote this time, they'll wake up and say, well, we're going to give them what they want. We want reparations. And what that really means, we just want our ancestors well, that means they fought and they worked in America. They didn't get no pay to work from sun up to sundown. They get no pay. And all the trillions of dollars that made, the banks involved, the government involved, the different private companies involved, and some of these colleges, white colleges, had slaves. All them that have slaves, they need to pay. Boy, y'all ain't listening to me tonight. Trillion dollar flow.
Trillion dollar
from LA
flow.
To Miami, Minnesota to Detroit, Chicago, Alabama, Texas. The trillion dollar flow. Yeah.
people of color, people that have melanin. You ask not, you have not. We ask it for what's ours. We're calling for you, you and you, to come into the $1 billion float. New car, new home. New land, new expression. A new philosophy. A new love. $1 billion float. $1 trillion float. We are able to have more money than the government, because we are the government. $1 trillion flow coming from Egypt, coming from the mother country, Africa, to New York and Chicago, the birthplace of Malcolm X, the birthplace of Martin Luther King, DuSable. I'm talking about $1 trillion flow, the slave train. I'm talking about Paul Lawrence done by Robeson, the slave train, the $1 billion flow. You and me, me and you, poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yeah, you can have that new Benz. Yeah, you can have that Beamer. Yes, you can have that Rose. Yes, you can have that Cadillac. Yes, you can have that up on the hill up in New York, up in California, out in Oakland, Compton, L.A. You can have the $1 billion. Your health is 100%.
It's time for you to understand tonight. It's time for you to rethink what you're doing and start your business. We can't just, you know, if we have a young folks got to see us in business and open up business, and I think that's the most important thing here. Know that you're able to be successful and have what you want.
Thinking ahead, the world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Can't do it alone. Need some help, y'all. Can't do it alone. Can't do it alone. Yeah, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. Can't do it alone. Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Wake up.
I have heard his paraphrase. I have heard about the fact that New York Times highways through the your world. You have made it possible. I have consecrated you. That's how we seek it happen. As if it came that of your friends and medical, but I am all of your advancement in medical. So you have been able to go in this great place and have my eyes on my life and bring about great spiritual well-being. You can do things now that you can make certain times for days, every month, and that is wonderful. Have long faith. Seriously. But I am wondering, I look at you from afar, but I'm not going to have long and far in the spirit of the moral realm. Be American, although you have advanced science, and you have behind the spirit of the end. Don't go forth to the role you've done in the end. How often that is true, you have allowed the imperial meaning behind you, while our distance. The spiritual end talk with you. You have allowed your mentality to come out of your heart. You have allowed things to come out of this to your soul. And yes, our marriage to go very high in the spiritual and the material realm. How far has it gone in the moral realm? Your scientific genius, through your moral and security genius, who has family on a brother. That same God thing, that same Lord that sent you to the master soul, what does the prophet man say for the whole world to see? Our same subway. Oh, my God, they will be in. Oh, oh. Your spiritual advances of your material. I will tell all that you write concerning the tremendous possibilities of coming to Christians attempting to live in a yes, I had to do that. I had to live in the Christian world. Every Christian has a different responsibility to live a Christian in an unchristian. They tell me that I'm from a Christian church. You feel that ultimate achievement. I've had them do it well. They want to be acceptable so to them. They already have so they conform to the patterns of the world. They live by some such philosophy as this. Everybody is coming, so it must be all right. So go forth and in your ways, right in your front wheel is something of taking a gallon full of the majority. How many living like that? How many people are giving their own system?
But if not,
what American man says not said to the Lord.
There was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. There was a king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, You read about them a good deal in the book of Daniel, and it stands as an epic that will remain stenciled on the mental sheets of unfolding generations. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king. And when he ruled, he ruled. And when he issued an order, he meant business. And Nebuchadnezzar issued an order. He made a golden image, and his order was that everybody under the reign of his kingship had to bow before that golden image and worship it. Now, those of you who read the Bible remember that story. One day Nebuchadnezzar called in the judges and the governors and the sheriffs, and they had a dedicatory service for this golden image. And then he said to them, I'm instructing you to see that everybody bows before this golden image. But there were three young men around there. One's name was Shadrach. The other one's name was Meshach. And the other name was Abednego. And they answered, and I read it from the scripture, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, now worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now I want you to notice first here that these young men practiced civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is the refusal to abide by an order of the government or of the state or even of the court that your conscience tells you is unjust. Civil disobedience is based on a commitment to conscience. In other words, one who practices civil disobedience is obedient to what he considers a higher law. And then there comes a time when a moral man can obey a law which his conscience tells him is unjust. And I tell you this morning, my friends, that history has moved on. Great moments have often come forth because there were those individuals in every age and every generation who were willing to say, I will be obedient to a higher law. These men were saying, I must be disobedient to a king in order to be obedient to the king. And those people who so often criticize those of us who come to those moments when we must practice civil disobedience never remember that even right here in America, in order to get free from the oppression and the colonialism of the British Empire, our nation practiced civil disobedience. For what represented civil disobedience more than the Boston Tea Party? And never forget that everything that Hitler did in Germany was legal. It was legal to do everything that Hitler did to the Jews. It was a law in Germany that Hitler issued himself that it was wrong and illegal to aid and comfort a Jew in Hitler's Germany. But I tell you, if I had lived in Hitler's Germany with my attitude, I would have openly broken that law.
Make it plain.
I would have practiced civil disobedience. And so it is important to see that there are times when a man-made law is out of harmony with the moral law of the universe. There are times when human laws are out of harmony with eternal and divine laws. And when that happens, you have an obligation to break it. And I'm happy that in breaking it, I have some good company. I have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I have Jesus and Socrates.
Make it plain.
And I have all of the early Christians who refused to bow. Now the second interesting point is that these men never doubted God and his power. As they did what they did, they made it very clear that they knew that God had the power to spare them. They said that to the king. Now we know that the God that we worship is able to deliver us. And that grew out of their experience. They had known God. They had experienced God in nature. They knew God as the Creator. And then they had seen God in history.
Yes. Make it plain.
And then they had seen God, I'm sure, in their personal lives.
Yes. Amen.
They never doubted God's power to deliver them. But let me move now to the basic point of the message. And oh, this morning, if we forget everything I said, I hope you won't forget this.
Amen.
Came to the point after saying our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if he doesn't deliver us, we still are not going to bow. But if not, do you get that? And these men were saying that our faith is so deep and that we've found something so dear and so precious that nothing can turn us away from it. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, this simply means, my friends, that The ultimate test of one's faith is his ability to say, but if not. You see, there is what you may call an if faith, and there is a though faith. And the permanent faith, the lasting, the powerful faith, is the though faith. Now the if faith says, if all goes well, if life is hopeful, prosperous and happy, if I don't have to go to jail, if I don't have to face the agonies and burdens of life, if I'm not ever called bad names because of taking a stand that I feel that I must take, if none of these things happen, then I'll have faith in God. Then I'll be all right. That's the if faith. You know, a lot of people have the if faith. Jacob found himself in that dilemma once, and his faith was contingent on an if. And he said, now, if God will be with me, and if he will keep me in this way that I go, and if God will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That's the if faith. Jacob hadn't quite gotten to the essence of religion. There is a though faith, though. And the though faith says, though things go wrong,
yes, sir,
though evil is temporarily triumphant,
yes, sir,
though sickness comes and the cross looms,
yes,
nevertheless, I'm going to believe anyway, and I'm going to have faith anyway. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And old Job got to that point, and he had a though faith. He looked out, and everything that he had been taken away from him. And even his wife said to him, now, what you ought to do, Brother Job, is to curse God and die.
Yes.
God has been unkind to you. And you should have let God know a long time ago that you would only follow him if he allowed you to stay rich.
Yes. Make it plain.
If he allowed your cattle to stay in place, you ought to curse him and die, Job, because he hadn't treated you right. But Job said, honey, I'm sorry, but my faith is deeper than that.
Yes.
Though he slay me,
yes,
yet will I trust him. My faith is a though faith.
Yes.
And this is the essence of life and religion. The question is whether you have an if faith,
yes,
or whether you have a though faith. You know what this says in substance, that ultimately, religion is not a bargaining matter.
Yes.
A lot of people bargain with God.
Amen.
If you just let me avoid pain, God, if you allow me to be happy in all of its dimensions, if you don't allow any suffering to come, if you don't allow frustrating moments to come, then I'll be all right. I'll give you a tenth of my income, and I'll go to church, and I'll have faith in you. But religion is not a bargaining experience. It's not a commercial relationship. And you know, no great experience exist in the bargaining atmosphere. Think of friendship. Think of love. And think of marriage. These things are not based on if. They are based on though. And these great experiences are not based on a bargaining relationship, not an if faith, but a though faith. And I'm coming to my conclusion now. And I want to say to you this morning, my friends, that somewhere along the way, you should discover something that's so dear, so precious to you, that is so eternally worthful that you will never give it up. You ought to discover some principle.
Yes, sir.
You ought to have some great faith that grips you so much that you will never give it up.
Never.
Somehow you go on and say, I know that the God that I worship is able to deliver me. Yes. But if not, I'm going on anyhow. I'm going to stand up for it anyway. What does this mean? It means in the final analysis, you do right not to avoid hell. If you're doing right merely to keep from going to something that traditional theology has called hell, then you are doing right. If you do right merely to go to a condition that theologians have called heaven, you are doing right. If you are doing right to avoid pain and to achieve happiness and pleasure, then you are doing right. Ultimately, you must do right because it's right to do right. You got to say, but if not, you must love ultimately because it's lovely to love. You must be just because it's right to be just. You must be honest because it's right to be honest. This is what this text is saying more than anything else. And finally, you must do it because it has gripped you so much that you are willing to die for it if necessary. And I say to you this morning that if you have never found something so dear and so precious to you that you will die for it, then you aren't fit to live.
Make it plain.
You may be 38 years old as I happen to be. And one day some great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause. You refuse to do it because you are afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You are afraid that you will lose your job, or you are afraid that you will be criticized, or that you will lose your popularity. Are you afraid that somebody will stab you or shoot at you or bomb your house? So you refuse to take the stand. Well, you may go on and live until you are 90. But you are just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You died when you refused to stand up for justice. These boys stand before us today. And I thank God for them. For they had found something. The fiery furnace couldn't stop them from believing it. And they said, throw us into the fiery furnace.
Yes, sir.
But you know, the interesting thing is, the Bible talks about a miracle. Because they had faith enough to say, but if not, God was with them as an eternal companion. And this is what I want to say finally. That there is a reward if you do right for righteousness' sake. It says that somehow that burning fiery furnace was transformed into an air-conditioned living room. Somebody looked in there and said, we put three in here, but now we see four.
Yes.
Don't ever think you're by yourself.
Right.
Go on to jail if necessary, but you never go alone. Take a stand for that which is right. And the world may misunderstand you and criticize you, but you never go alone. For somewhere I read that one with God is a majority.
Amen.
And God has a way of transforming a minority into a majority. Walk with him this morning and believe in him and do what is right.
Amen.
And he'll be with you even until the consummation of the ages. Yes, I've seen the lightning flash.
Yes,
I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Where are you going this morning, my friends? Tell the world that you're going with truth. You're going with justice. You're going with goodness. And you will have an eternal companionship. And the world will look at you. And they will understand you. For your fiery furnace will be around you. But you go on anyhow. But if not, I will not bow. And God grant that we will never bow before the gods of evil.
Talking about moving to the next level. I have Mr. White on. I'm going to have Brother White to have something to say. I don't know what happened to him. Come on and talk a little bit about the tree of flow. He was on earlier, but I don't see where he come on at, Brother White. Talking about tree of flow. What we do, the tree of flow, we'll go to the next level.
What I'm saying to you this morning, my friend, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, going out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music, sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote portraits, sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And when you do this, you've mastered the length of life. This onward push to the end of self-fulfillment is the end of a person's life. Now, don't stop here, though. You know, a lot of people get no further in life than the length. They develop their inner powers. They do their jobs well. Do you know they try to live as if nobody else lives in the world but themselves? And they use everybody as mere tools to get to where they are going. They don't love anybody but themselves. And the only kind of love that they really have for other people is utilitarian love. You know, they just love people that they can use. A lot of people never get beyond the first dimension of life. They use other people as mere steps to which or by which they can climb to their goals and their ambitions. These people don't work out well in life. They may go for a while. They may think they're making it all right. But there is a law. They call it the law of gravitation in the physical universe. And it works. It's final. It's inexorable. Whatever goes up can come down. You shall reap what you sow. God has structured this universe that way. And he who goes through life not concerned about others will be a subject victim of this law. So I move on and say that it is necessary to add breath to length. Now the breath of life is the outward concern for the welfare of others, as I said.
Yeah.
Man has not begun to live until he can rise above the narrow confines of his own individual concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity.
Injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
close relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses.
It's been 1 year since Russia invaded Ukraine.
Well, to leave Martin out of it for a moment. Martin's very rare, very great man. Martin's rare for two reasons. Not because just because he is. And because he's a real Christian. And he really believes in nonviolence. He's right at something in himself, which permits him, allows him to do it. And he still has great moral authority in the South. There's none whatever in the North. Poor Martin has gone through God knows what kind of hell to awaken the American conscience. But Martin has reached the end of his rope. There's some things Martin can't do. Martin's only one man. Martin can't solve the nation's central problem by himself. There are lots of people, lots of black people in the world, who don't go to church no more and don't listen to Martin. No. And who anyway are themselves produced by civilization, which is always glorified violence, unless the Negro had the gun. So that Martin is undercut by the performance of the country. The country is only concerned about nonviolence if it seems that I'm going to get violent. But I'm not worried about nonviolence if it's some Alabama sheriff.
Jim, what do you see deep in the recesses of your own mind as the future of our nation? And I ask that question in that way because I think that the future of the Negro and the future of the nation are linked.
They're indissoluble.
Yeah. Now, what do you see? Are you essentially optimistic or pessimistic? And I really don't want to put words in your mouth because what I really want to find out is what you really believe.
Well, I'm both glad and sorry you asked me that question. I'll do my best to answer it. I can't be a pessimist because I'm alive. To be a pessimist means that you have agreed that human life is an academic matter. So I'm forced to be an optimist. I'm forced to believe that we can survive whatever we must survive. But the Negro in this country, the future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country. It is entirely up to the American people and our representatives. It is entirely up to the American people whether or not they're going to face and deal with and embrace this stranger who they maligned so long. What white people have to do is try to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a nigger in the first place. Because I'm not a nigger. I'm a man. But if you think I'm a nigger, it means you need it. The question you've got to ask yourself, the white population of this country has got to ask itself, North and South, because it's one country, and for a Negro, there's no difference in the North and the South. There's just a difference in the way they castrate you. But the fact of the castration is the American fact. If I'm not the Negro here, and you invented him, you, the white people, invented him, then you got to find out why.
Well,
and the future of the country depends on that, whether or not it's able to ask that question.
As a Negro, and as an American, I can only hope that America has the strength and the capacity to ask and answer that question in affirmative and constructive ways.
Face that question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Captain.
LGBTQ-owned record store in Andersonville this afternoon and debuted a new act featuring support from former Congressman Bobby Rush. Congressman Garcia, meanwhile, former Chicago Public Schools Chief Paul Vallis, both visited with the largest Muslim congregation in the Midwest. The nine candidates running for mayor in this election have collectively raised almost $30 million in the race. More than 150,000 early ballots and vote-by-mail ballots have already been cast.
And our election night coverage begins Tuesday night at 7, right after the WGN evening news. We'll have live reports from all nine mayoral candidates. Election headquarters will also have results from the other races in the city, guests, and analysis. And, of course, you can always get the latest anytime at WGNTV.com and get breaking updates through our free WGN news app.
The White House is warning. hearing about a potential court ruling that could limit access to an abortion drug. We'll have details on that coming up in Medical Watch.
Also, it's snowing outside right now, and it could last a bit longer. Tom Skilling has the latest, and he's tracking a weekend warm-up. His full forecast is next.
Monday, addressing the drug trade inside Cook County Jail.
They could break down the car, get the pieces, and sell it.
Okay. How inmates are using the mail to smuggle drugs, and how the Sheriff's Department is working to stamp it out. WGN investigates Monday at 9.
The all-powerful Kia SUV is assembled in Georgia. Lease the new 2023 Ford LX for $279 a month during the President's Day sales event.
Like, yeah, so amazing.
The style of Chevy Equinox RS.
Like,
and Chevy Blazer RS. You don't have to be an influencer to be an influencer. The RS family of Chevy SUVs definitely worth a follow. You saw the Chevy lineup at the Chicago Auto Show. Now, stop by your local dealer where qualified lessees can get this Equinox LT for around $279 a month. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
The most powerful combination in sleep. Service most advanced eye comfort and highest rated power adjustable. Best sellers at over $4,000. Friday, Serta dumps $2,000 off. Plus, get team size free. Handmade American Hemingway. California Heirloom for $5,000. $12.99. Free big screen, free delivery, highest rated Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster, 40 times higher tech smart beds. TV Foster Phoenix, $499. The power of luxury sleep, 75% off and $20 a month. To the dump, to the dump, to the dump, dump, dump.
Experience the Infiniti QX60 at your local Infiniti retailer. I've lost friends and neighbors to gun violence. I nearly lost my son to the gang. We can't afford to lose one more kid. So I won't stand for a failed mayor. So that's what she can do is run a false smear campaign against me. You know me. I'm Chuy Garcia. I've walked the walk, fought against corruption, and for real progressive reform. We can tackle crime and invest in opportunity for everyone. Let's build a safer, stronger Chicago together.
The all-powerful Kia SUV is assembled in Georgia. Lease the new 2023 Sorento LX for $319 a month for the President's Day sales event.
Tuesday, Chicago votes. Starting at 7, your local election headquarters brings you the only live, on-air coverage and analysis of the citywide races and the nine-way contest for mayor. Ray Cortefasi, Lourdes Duarte host. Tuesday night at 7, only on WGN. Medical Watch is sponsored by New Chicago Medicine. Sickness is relentless. So are we. Visit newchicagomedicine.org.
Vice President Kamala Harris alerted the public about a pending lawsuit in Texas that could prevent doctors from prescribing a widely used abortion pill. Vice President held a roundtable event at the White House, warning that the bill, one of a two-part prescription, could be in jeopardy. The FDA approved it nearly 20 years ago. She called the lawsuit a...
This is not just an attack on women's fundamental freedom. It is an attack on the very foundation of our public health system that will further restrict the ability of people to make the most fundamental decisions they should have,
didn't do the requisite testing that was required for underage populations.
Both the American Medical Association and the American College of OBGYN says medication for the medical abortion is safe. Medicated abortion is safe.
Well, Governor Pritzker says the COVID-19 pandemic made the growing mental health crisis worse, and he has a new plan to transform the way Illinois provides access to care. The governor unveiled today a blueprint for transformation based on a behavioral health initiative he launched just a year ago. The plan has many recommendations, including developing a centralized resource to make it easier to access health, also improving coordination between state agencies, increasing capacity, and providing opportunities for early intervention through universal screenings in schools and doctor's offices. The governor cited research that found of people in Illinois who experience major depression were unable to receive care.
This is an unprecedented interagency effort that will provide more and better treatment and save lives.
Changes are complex. It will take some time to get them done. A final detailed implementation plan should be completed in October. More than $22 million in the governor's budget is dedicated to just starting the work while ocean innovation.
So it's adding up in a few spots.
Yes, it is. It's interesting to see the black shots. With the snow fluttering down and the two new lights, we've got some measurements on the snow around the area. Turns out 1 inch is down at both O'Hare and Midway right now. Won't last for very long. But Phil Snyder, my assistant there for the weather office, points out this is only the second time we've had measurable snow in the month of February. And to be 24 days into February, that's saying something. Here is our little snow area. Won't be long for the area, but lovely big flakes coming down. This is the beginning of a warming process. One layer is running up and over the tree and cool air. We have visibility down to a mile, mile and a half. They've occasionally dropped down to fractions of a mile. That means it's snowing at a pretty good clip. You can see how the visibility has moved out to the west. It's night, and so the illumination is not all that great. But look, we can even see the snow coming down at our weather bus camera at Carroll Stream, and here's the view on the Kennedy Expressway. You can see a little accumulation there. Out the west coast, here's the weather system that comes in Sunday night, Monday, in Burbank today. And here's the view in Concord, California. They have a heck of a storm going. They've got blizzard warnings with this system in the mountains around Los Angeles, and there have been over 3 inches of rain down in many locations, more in others. Here's the little weather system going through here tonight. Not much to look at on the weather satellite, but the precipitation should be ending by about 4 in the morning. And you'll see that we have the skies for clearer tomorrow instead of scattering clouds at the end of the warming process. It's pretty chilly tonight, 25. But the fact that these temperatures are not going to move very much, we went down to 19 last night, had some mid-teens in some of the western suburbs. This was at 5, it's 25 degrees at O'Hare, with the flakes fluttering earthward, and 29 and 11 on the books as we experienced today, and it's having the air with 39 and 25 and normal. 6% of our constant sunshine. We've been on something of a meteorological grind here. With a 40 yesterday down to 29 back in Arctic air today. Here comes the Pacific air and the Gulf air, where there's moisture and rain on Monday. We get up to 43 Saturday, 53 on Sunday, and 55 on Monday. Temperatures this hour across the area in the mid-20s. These winds are blowing lightly, and we've got a little bit of a wind chill effect with those winds. But look how temperatures are increasing out to the west of us. They're warmer by double digits compared to this night last night. So that's the milder air that's on the way. The real warmth, though, continues in the southeast. 90-degree temperatures across the Sunshine State in places today. That's pretty amazing. And Mobile, Alabama had 80s today. There are the highs in Chicago by comparison. And the expectation is some light snow will be moving out tonight and yielding to a good deal of sunshine. Tomorrow, and for that matter on Sunday as well, only about half the sky cloud covered in the morning, a quarter after that. And then we get into this wet, windy storm with its rain. We get an inch to an inch and a quarter. That's on top of the 1 to 1.8 inches of rain that fell with that system on Wednesday. And there's freezing rain in the northern suburbs, but a 55 degree high expected on Monday, which could be 15 degrees above normal. Every one of the next 5 days will be above normal as the warmer air comes into the area. So high pressure dominates the bridging back here. That's why the ponds are great. But here's the storm out west, jumping the Rockies and making its move on Chicago. It's very impressive. You see the jet stream diving down here. You spin up, there's some vorticity going right there, and it could be a lift. A little popcorn cumulus sort of take this cold air aloft in there, and that's the kind of thing that red food systems often throw. That moisture is just pouring down on California and stacking up the snow in the mountains. And of course, they need that, having been as dry as they've been. That's their moisture source for the warmer months ahead. The light snow and flurries tonight diminishing later on. We'll get Maxwell and Wilder. Up to 43 tomorrow, a month of a west-southwest wind will be no cooling along the lakefront, so it'll be mild right up to the shoreline. Scattered clouds in 31 tomorrow night, and Sunday partly sunny. A big change in temperatures across the area, 53 inland, but an east-southeast wind will develop off the lake in the afternoon, so that'll keep the shoreline and downtown area in the upper 30s or low 40s. Then it rains, it turns windy, 55 on Monday, 45 beautiful for Election Day, little disturbance with a few rain showers Wednesday, and we're launching a Thursday-Friday system. That could be a snow producer. Lots of details to work out on that.